And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael Lindbaum, as always, joined by Mr. Pink Ranger himself.
Yeah, Ben dude. Taylor. I'm the Pink Ranger.
So we're doing three episodes this time around, Ben. You got rid of Tommy.
I did, and it felt good.
And now we're doing Birds
Hashtag
of a Feather.
Screw Tommy Oliver.
And now we're doing Birds of a Feather, Cleanup Club, and A Bad Reflection on You. Yep.
We get to hear the Rangers being idiots, the Rangers not understanding how pollution works, and Scorpina being promised to us and never delivering.
Yep. So, and as Ben, we mentioned in the previous episodes, the episode that you're about to listen to has been previously recorded.
Yep.
Due to things that are kind of out of our control, we had to do
some
changes.
Yeah, we had to re-record the intros, so some of the transitions between intros and the main body and the outros, because we had to re-record the outros as well,
yep,
are going to feel a little bit disjointed for most of season one.
Yeah.
The earlier episodes will sound fine. Probably anything up to and through Green with Evil sounded okay.
Yeah, so essentially from our season debut with episode one, Day of the Dumpster, all the way up to episode 9, which is the Green with Evil part 5 episode.
Yeah.
Those were all re-recorded completely.
Yeah.
Whereas episodes 10 through 28, with the exception of episode 23, we had to re-record intros and outros for them. Episode 23 was an episode that was not recorded yet, so we got to record that fresh. And the season finale was recorded.
Season finale is going to be a thing.
It's going to be a thing.
Yeah. But yeah, so please listen and enjoy the rest of the episode.
Three episodes in one
go. Yeah, buckle in, buttercup.
And that's actually because the next episode is doing Doomsday Part 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to try to make it where all the multi-part episodes got put together.
Yeah.
So with that, let's hop right on into it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is everyone's favorite segment in my mind as we do the quick run-through of Birds of a Feather. Which starts off with us seeing Zach teaching a karate class, and he does a demo with a student, which then Bulk and Skull show up with their protege. However, at Rita's palace, Rita's excited for her new monster. Then back at the juice bar, Zach gives a pep talk to Cameron, who's the student. Now it's time for the competition, but bad timing because Jason finally arrives, only to get paged by Zordon. Bad timing for Zach as he's off to the command center, and Cameron is sad. At the command center, Zordon informs the Rangers of the new monster. The Rangers then morph into action and summon their Zords. Jason summons the Dragon Zord for the first time. They also then destroy the monster. But wait, you gotta get that computer to shut down that's in the monster. Rita then places a spell on the Dragon Zord. Good job leaving it exposed, Jason. They morph back into action, but they get whooped by the Hathasaurus. If I wrote that right.
Hatchasaurus.
Thank you, sir. And the Dragon Zord is slowed down. They destroy the monster again, but it's again no good. Jason then leaves the Megazord to destroy the computer. The computer still take a beating, and the Dragon Zord collapses, but Jason summons Dragon Zord power and gains the shield and breaks the spell. Jason versus Cardian.
Cardiotron.
Yeah, Cardiontron, and Jason wins. Ultra Zord time to finish the job, and Zach returns in time to see Cameron in the finals. Bulk and Skull are still confident, Cameron getting whooped, but Zach with some coaching, and Cameron is the winner. And that was Birds of a Feather.
AKA, everyone's an idiot. In case you guys haven't listened to the other episodes, I have a thing where I subtitle episodes. So this is Birds of a Feather, a.k.a. Everyone's an Idiot.
And why is everyone an idiot, Ben?
We'll get there.
Okay.
Hey, Zach is teaching karate? I mean, it could be hip-hop keto, I suppose.
I think it's a combination between the two.
Everything. Well, when you see them do the kata later, it's hip-hop keto, right? Because there's all the dancing. But he's even wearing pants that say karate. It's like he's subbing in for Jason because Jason didn't show up for a class or something, right? But yeah, Zach's even wearing pants that say karate. Pick a message, dude.
Maybe those hip hop keto pants never came in.
Maybe he didn't get the licensing in. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Cameron, a student, has confidence issues. When asked to do the new kata, Zach says something about trusting your instincts. This will be important. Zach does the kata alongside Cameron, and things look a little more hip-hop keto because they're dancing and flipping right down to the beat in the background that literally they can't not put behind anything the black guy does. Cameron falls over. Zach says not to worry, and concentration is the key. So we've had two exchanges, and this is usually the point where they set up the moral of the episode, right? And so far, we've had instincts and concentration. Which is it going to be? Bogusko show up with their protege, Biff! And Zach says, I don't remember you being an expert, Bulk. It takes control, self-discipline, and knowledge. Who are the bullies again? Biff does some moves. Still not Mayor of Hill Valley. Very sad. That's a Back to the Future reference. Not the last one. So we cut to the moon. Rita, yada yada. Power Rangers destroyed something, something. Goldar. So the Hadgesaurus is apparently going to quote unquote, according to Rita, stop the Dragonzord. Okay? Bear that in mind for later. Because it'll never happen. Back to Cameron and Zach. And Zach's all, don't let Biff psych you out because he's bigger than you. Biff, if anything, is smaller than Cameron. Just say better. Don't say bigger. Just say more experienced. Don't say bigger if the kid's not bigger. Can I say bigger more? I don't know.
Hey, remember that time when they put John Cena with Crime Time and they're billing John Cena as this big monster, essentially?
And he was smaller than Shad.
Yeah. Same thing.
So Cameron turns around to Zach and goes, but what if Biff cheats? And Zach's like, then he'll get disqualified. Duh. Like,
what a concept.
What? Come up with better stuff, dude. Okay. Zach says that he will be in Cameron's corner. Zach is an idiot. You say something like that, you know you're not going to be. Especially since you're a Power Ranger. Zach is an idiot. So we cut to the contest and another pep talk about confidence. To this point, which is about 5 minutes into the episode, Zach is the only Power Ranger that's been seen on screen. And you've seen Trini, Billy, and Kim for like frames as they pan by. And even then, it's only Kim's back and Jason is nowhere to be seen. We're a third of the way into the episode. The amount of screen time that this Cameron kid's getting, he better be important to the plot. Oh, wait. And of course, Zach and Cameron have a handshake because this is the 90s and they're both people of color. Jason arrives just in time for his comm to go off. Funny thing is, only Jason's comm goes off. The others have communicators too. Why just buzz Jason?
Because he was the furthest away.
Just buzz all of them. Previously, whenever the thing's gone off, they've all heard it, right? So, I don't know.
But also, in a way, could you see it as the way of, like, still establishing the fact that Jason is the leader? So he would be the first.
Oh, sure, but...
I mean, logically, imagine that's the
only thing. What would happen if, like, Jason didn't have his communicator?
Yeah. Then you obviously just communicate the other Rangers.
Or you just buzz all of them and see who answers first.
Yeah.
Zach tells Cameron he's got to go, and Cameron turns into an entitled brat. This is peak bad acting from this kid, and there is a lot of bad acting from this kid in this episode. Like, bad. So they teleport to the command center, and Zordon starts expositing about this beast. He's like, this is Hatchosaurus, and he has Cardiotron inside him, and blah 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 blah. How does he know this? Isn't Finster making these monsters up as he goes?
Well,
or does he have some kind of encyclopedic knowledge of all the monsters that Finster could ever make?
So it kind of, it's interesting because when we did earlier episodes of the show, there was a backstory to some of these monsters and stuff like that. So, and of course, if there's a backstory, Zordon knows about them because he dealt with them then.
Right, but there isn't for this one.
And exactly, there isn't for this one, but there's always been the on-running joke that Zordon does have the encyclopedia of all of Rita's monsters.
Right. 5 minutes, 23 into the episode. Your mission is to get inside Hatchosaurus and disconnect Cardiotron. Direct quote from Zordon. How do we do that? Zach asks. Have confidence in your skills, Zordon answers. At that point, Zach should have answered, that's not an answer. Jason thinks the Zords could use some help before A, fighting the monster, or B, even forming the Megazord. He calls Dragonzord. He just calls it. Doesn't try to fight it. Like, they've summoned the Zords. They haven't even got to the monster yet. He's like, well, we need help. Like, what?
I don't understand this logic. And what a way to waste the first time to call the Dragonzord.
Yeah.
This is your first time call the Dragonzord since Tavi has left.
And all it does is hold the monster.
Yeah. Like,
side note, is the ability to play the dagger conferred by the power coin?
I don't know. Or has
Jason just been like sitting in the command center doing scales?
He's been doing dragon daggers.
That didn't work.
He's probably like taking lessons from Zordon at the command center.
Yeah. And then they get in their sword. Then they get there, and Trini yells, "Look out! It's attacking!" What else is it going to do? Hang out and play Nintendo? Like, come on, Trini.
For those of you young enough not to know, people like Ben and I played Nintendo and Super Nintendo before there was an N64 or Nintendo Wii.
Yeah. So this is one of the few times we see a monster off without forming the Megazord. Right? At least the first time they off the monster.
One of the few times, yeah.
That's what I said. It's one of the few times.
Yeah. So far.
I guess they didn't need the help after all if their basic Zords could beat it. Right?
However.
So, on the moon, the baddies boast and they're like, this isn't over yet. The Rangers are forcibly recalled to the command center and are shocked when the Hatchosaurus is not defeated. Remember at 5:33 when it said you must get inside and disconnect Cardiotron. The Rangers are idiots. Also, Jason is in completely different clothes now. Just completely different clothes. The monster reforms around Cardiotron. When did this become the Wild Force finale? This is the exact plot with Master Org in the Wild Force finale and the Org Heart.
We now know where they got the idea from.
It's a better season, so I don't care. Before they remorph and leave, Jason says they're going to need to form the Mega Dragonzord. They haven't even formed the normal Megazord yet. Like, we're skipping ahead steps, guys. Like, come on.
Remember that thing that, you know, like the three rules that Zordon gave the Rangers when they first became Rangers? And one of the rules was is that you're not supposed to escalate the fight.
Right.
This is definitely escalating the fight.
Right. Back on the moon, Rita says the Dragon's Order is easy for me to stop. I have two questions. Why? Why haven't you done it before then? And two, wasn't the Hadrosaurus supposed to do that? Just saying. The Dragon Zord has a spell cast on it because it's apparently out for a walk. It's just bimbling around. It's not underwater. It's not like recharging. It's just bimbling around. It's like, ooh, I think I'll go for a walk.
Look at all this nature.
Yeah, it's a tree.
Good job, Jason, by putting it back where it belongs. Like, he made sure the tire is...
So they cut back, and Zordon says, there was only one way to defeat Hadrosaurus. And Billy says, we have to disconnect Cardiotron. That's the second time they've been told in less than 10 minutes. Another morph sequence to pad out the episode. We go straight to the Megazord. No combined sequence. They're already in the Megazord. Cut to the moon. Rita says he's winning. Not one punch has been thrown. I guess that's as close as Rita gets sometimes. Oh, look, it's a lesser spotted Scorpina. And she does nothing. Apparently, the Dragon Zord shows up. It can't get involved. And Billy says something's wrong with its mega receptors. Because putting mega on the front of something makes it sound technical, I guess. The Rangers summon the Power Sword and hit the finisher. Guess they didn't need to form the Dragon Megazord after all. Also, it's the only move they hit in the fight. They just go straight for the finish. They should do that more often.
Yeah, less destructive to the Warehouse District, too.
Hadrosaurus explodes. The Rangers are then shocked when Hadrosaurus reforms. Rangers are shocked when he doesn't die. The Rangers are shocked when they didn't do the thing they were told they specifically had to do twice. They didn't win. The Rangers are idiots. Finally, at the 13-minute mark of a how long episode?
20 minutes and 19 seconds.
Jason finally decides, oh, we should do the thing that we've been told that we needed to do at least three times now. So he jumps in its mouth.
Woo!
Now, the thing they're fighting is called Cardiotron. Do you know what cardio means?
It's cardiovascular. It's
the heart.
Yes.
It's to do with the heart. When was the last time something's heart was in its stomach? Jason is an idiot.
Well, it's not like it can hop on top of its head like a Zord and just drop on in, you know?
Go through the nose. I don't know. Cut your way in. I don't know.
Actually, that probably would have been better. You do that mega sword slash.
Yeah, and jump in.
And then just jump on the Cardiotron, like, yeah, immediately.
Yeah. Or do the mega sword slash and then do it again. So Jason goes in to fight this thing in its stomach. And Cardiotron's all like, I have tentacles. And wraps Jason up in the tentacles. And a bunch of explosions go off on Jason. And then a bunch of explosions go off on the Megazord. Because apparently Jason taking damage hurts the Megazord. Qua? Baking your pudding? So Jason, the Dragon Zord falls over. Jason grabs the dragon dagger and plays the riff like 7 times. And then apparently feeds the Dragon Zord a can of Red Bull because it gets all its energy back. And he gets the shield and then he kills the heart. And all it takes is one drill tail from the Dragonzord to eject Dason and Cardiotron out of Hatchasaurus. One drill tail. The Megazord's been punching this thing for an hour.
It's like, why won't you stay down?
Yeah. Side note, when Jason got the coin in Green Candle, the power coin glowed red.
Yes.
So when he uses the dagger, why does the dagger glow green?
Good question. I don't think that's ever been explained. So
Cardiotron loses. Ultra Zord is summoned. Game over. And then we get to the wrap up. They get back. Cameron and Zach have a conversation. To quote Zach, Cameron made it to the highest martial arts level, aka the tournament finals. Just say tournament finals. It's quite clear the kid's wearing a green belt. It's also quite clear the actor cannot fight. If you watch his fight scenes, he does like 2 or 3 kicks that look really awkward, and every point he scores on Biff at the end is just him stepping out of the way and just touching him on the back as he runs past. Like, there's no actual combat. Cameron, quote-unquote, forgives Zach in some of the worst acting in Power Rangers history. And that's saying something, right?
Yep.
Biff shows off. Still not mayor of Hill Valley. VV sad. And at the end, it really is just I don't know how if you look at the fight scene, Cameron couldn't have won the tournament. Like, he was just outclassed at every level, but confidence, moral.
Concentration, instinct. Yeah.
This episode was hard to watch. From the kids acting to just the Rangers being stupid. I repeat, everyone is an idiot. And that's the end of my notes.
Yeah. Just to kind of piggyback off of that, it's like, you also look at this episode specifically. This is the very first episode with Tommy. It's also the first of 13 episodes without Tommy.
Yeah. It's also the first episode where Jason has the coin.
Yeah, minus a minor cameo at the end of one episode.
Yeah.
But that doesn't count because he's not an actual focal point like in past episodes. So you don't have Tom anymore, so it's significant. You waste the very first time Jason calls the Dragon Zord. You waste the first time he dons the dragon shield himself. Because that was the other first that happened in this episode. And it's like, it felt like this episode was just kind of put together, but kind of backwards in a way.
And we'll talk about this when we get to Cleanup Club, right? The dragon shield went away real quick for Jason.
Yeah.
He uses it twice. In Birds of Feather and Cleanup Club. It's the only time to use it.
Yeah, and it's like, and in a way, to me, it kind of, when Jason uses it, it devalues the whole point of having it. When, you know, well, no, because think about it.
I can't say I agree with that, but.
Well, no, because keep in mind, before they even get into the battle, he just automatically decides, we need help. Right off the bat.
I thought you meant the dragon shield. Sorry.
No. Like, the dragon shield, that brought value to it because he needed it.
It's how things are used, right?
Yeah, it was how the utilization was done. Like, they didn't need to call in the dragon zord right off the bat. Mm. It wasn't necessary. So it is just kind of this, so you just like, all right. And then of course Jason just leaves it moping about in a desert somewhere. It's like, oh, look, a tree. No wonder Rita was able to capture it, quote unquote. But this episode, as I mentioned earlier, because you had asked, went 20 minutes and 19 seconds and had an IMDb score of a 6.9.
That's 20 minutes including titles, right?
Yes. 29. Yeah, everything always includes the opening and closing credits.
Okay. I don't tend to include those, so.
So what I do is when I watch the episodes, right. I just hit like the triangle button on my PS4 and it just brings the thing up. That's just how I work it. Next up, it's time for Cleanup Club, and I'm not saying it three times because everyone knows it's my favorite segment in my mind. So here's the quick run through a Cleanup Club. We're in class and we see Skull filming Bulk. And hey, it's Miss Appleby. How you been? And we have video projects with Trini's being about pollution. Trini wants to start a cleanup club as a result. To then Rita demands the Polluticorn. Then at the juice bar, the Rangers are working on recycling and more Bulk and Skull hijinks. At the park, the Rangers are dismayed with the litter and a cleanup montage, because we love our montages. But Bulk looks to take credit with Skull filming. Another part of the park, putties show up, some crazy over-the-top acrobatics in this fight, but here comes the Polluticorn and time to morph. Goldar and Scorpina show up, but their help is refused by the monster, which is a first. The Rangers retreat to Zordon. Billy helps Alpha do an analysis, to which then the Rangers learn that the horn is the weakness and they morph back into battle. Jason summons the Green Ranger powers and Rita makes her monster grow. And it's Dinozord time, a little power sword action, and it's game over. Back at the juice bar, more news coverage. How is no one ever injured in this thing? Like, seriously? And time for more recycling. And then Bulk and Skull wreck the place and themselves, and their video happens to be next, and it's a disaster piece. It is truly a disaster piece. Ben, from one disaster to another, how's your notes on this episode?
This is Cleanup Club, aka the most formulaic episode ever. If you want to know how to write a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers episode, watch this episode. It is the beats in their most pure form, right?
Yep.
Because we start with a heavy-handed moral. We have Bulk and Skull doing stupid stuff. We have a monster that doesn't do what it's supposed to do. We have Scorpina not doing anything. We have Billy doing science wrong. And then we have a Zord fight. It is the most formulaic episode ever. So, this is the first. So, this was the first time in a long time I'd watched the opening credits for Power Rangers. And my notes were, first time I've watched the credits in a while. This theme still slaps.
Yeah. I like that note. That's a great note.
Yeah. Bulk and Skull are making a vid doc because Bulk and Skull are on screen. Of course, there's a pratfall because formula. Everyone laughs at them. Who are the bullies again?
The Rangers.
Yeah. Apparently, the whole class is doing video documentaries. Trini's is called Pollution Problems in Angel Grove. Because of course it is. Moral message. The video talks about the causes of pollution, but Zord and monster fights are never mentioned. I find it hard to believe that they don't impact the environment in some way, even if it's just when all of those buildings need to get rebuilt. Trini's video is basically pollution exists. Apparently this is very good. The teacher preaches. Billy preaches with long words. Again, we're hammering the moral home so hard in this episode. Trini wants to start a club. Add that to the other myriad of things these teens do, like be Power Rangers, do dirt bike rallies, teach martial arts, learn martial arts, practice martial arts, keep their homework up, get good grades, succeed in everything, and sleep.
And somewhere eat?
Someone who wrote this has never been to high school.
That's why they need the teenagers with attitude, because they don't understand anyways.
Rita says she's going to give them something to clean. Weird. And there's Scorpina again. I always wish they did more with Scorpina. She might be the most wasted potential in season one.
Well, the key reason for that is because the actress who played her in Japan, mm-hmm. apparently she either got, I can't remember the full story, so if people get mad at me, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. She either got pregnant or she got another job on another show, so her availability disappeared.
Just recast her.
Yeah, no, I agree, because I love Scorpina, but it's like...
They could have done some really interesting things with Scorpina if they'd actually tried.
Well, and not only that, but if you look at it from the Sentai side of things, and you learn this in our group chat for the mm-hmm. show, Scorpina and Goldar are actually husband and wife in the Sentai.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually
come across.
Yeah. And one of the funny things is that at the end of G-Ranger, they're back in the canister mm-hmm. and Scorpina and Goldar had a kid.
Hmm.
That's how the end of the Zoo Ranger is for them.
Okay.
Yeah. Could you imagine utilizing a lot of that? That dynamic yeah. between the two, the fact yeah. that they're married, it's like so or many just, missed opportunities.
Even if you don't want to do that, like have her do more. We'll get to that in the next episode. The monster is called Polluticorn.
Because it's again, a unicorn that pollutes.
No, it doesn't. And we'll get to that. Again, the formula. It's a thing and a thing portmanteaued together. There's a lot of that when it comes to monster names. So, at the juice bar, the teens are all doing useful things. Jason and Zach are crushing cans. Billy is labeling recycle bins. And Kim is helping Ernie center a bin. All right. So maybe not everyone's doing something useful, but it was the 90s and the hot person never did work. Side note, those t-shirts are ugly. interesting that they were green though, because it kept green in the lexicon of the Power Rangers, as it were. Is there the color palette of the Cat Power Rangers, I guess? What's the color version of lexicon?
I think there is, because it's the primary colors have always been.
Well, no, I know, but I'm just saying, like, lexicon is words, so what's the, chromaticon, I don't know. There's more Boggle Skull shenanigans, and even Ernie gets a dig in. Who are the bullies again? At the park, the teens are amidst the sea of trash that you can see the edges of. The set dressing was not done well. Just stops at a certain point. You're like, you weren't supposed to show that on camera, were you? Billy takes a soil sample by putting a blade of grass in a test tube and wiggling it, waiting like, I don't know, 2 seconds, and declaring that it is completely polluted. That's not how science works. Just saying. They clean up, including unnecessary flips. Also, can Zach do anything without dancing or that backing track? Just a little bit of tact. So they clean everything up. Billy tests the soil again and declares it is unpolluted. That's not how pollution works. We are 8 minutes into the episode at this point. 8 minutes into how long?
19 minutes and 56 seconds.
Okay, 8 minutes into the episode, and apart from a quick scene on the moon, everything has been conversation about pollution. Everything. They could not be hammering the moral home harder, right? Bulk and Skull show up again, more pratfalls, because of course there are. Trini, they cut to the Rangers in a different part of the park. Now, bear in mind, when they're in the park, there is trash literally everywhere. They are literally ankle deep in trash. It has never been this way before, and it is never like this after that. So why is it like this now? Other than convenience for the episode.
Convenience.
Was there like a musical festival or something? I don't know. Anyway, Trini says, who just dumps their trash like this? And Billy says, pollutants like this. Sounding nothing like Billy.
Yeah. But I will say this. If they had put this episode after, I believe, after the Doomsday episodes, this would have made a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Yep. It's like typical 90s. Like, had to point out that the putties were pollutants. I don't know. Like, but we are finally 10 minutes into the episode, and putties have shown up. We're halfway into the episode, and the plot actually starts. There is a fight with cleaning puns. What's really interesting here is this is the first time in season one that we see Billy holding his own in a fight. Until this point, we've only seen Billy kind of like try and outwit the putties or avoid the putties or make them hit each other or that kind of thing. Here, he opens up a can. Right. Yeah.
And if I remember right, this is the one where they had like kind of like tag teams, like Zach and Billy and Kim and Trini. Or is that a later? No, I think that's later. A later episode.
That's later. Billy's ADR in this episode is way off. It sounds nothing like him. It almost sounds like the dude they get at the end of Zio, at the end of Zio, to be like, I'm staying on Akritar. It almost sounds that bad. So the putties leave and Pollutacorn appears. Or, the monster horse, as Zach calls it.
The monster horse.
The monster horse. If they should just have Zach name everything, because it makes more sense.
Look out, monster horse.
Look, monster horse up high, I believe, is what he says. They then morph, and they're in a completely different place. Because Sentai footage. And before anything else happens, they've morphed. There's not a punch thrown, not a move done, nothing. Someone yells, "We have to stop him before he pollutes everything in sight." All he's done is fly. It's all he's done. Nothing. That's it. I don't get it.
It's flying is a menace.
Yeah. Goldar and Scorpina show up and they're like, "Yeah, we're going to get some rumble." Oh, and I'm like, "Yes, Scorpina's going to do something." And then the monster's like, "No, you are denied." Poor Scorpina. Poor Scorpina.
I know.
The teens flee to the command center for advice. Rita has created this monstrosity, Polluticorn, to cover the Earth with pollution.
Which it hasn't done yet.
He's done nothing but fly, punch, and have a glowy horn. That's it. A unicorn monster, powered by its horn. Surely not.
I would have never have guessed it.
Yeah, they only showed it glowing a bunch. You could have inferred from that, you know, like... Anyway, our second morph sequence of the episode to pad the runtime. They were in the command center for exactly 2 minutes where they learned nothing they didn't already know. Jason fights Polluticorn. Billy and Trini fight Goldar. Kim and Zach fight Scorpina. And R... getting, quite frankly, beaten to crud. Jason summons the Dragon Shield for the second and final time. That's it. They made this big thing, this big ceremony, is Tommy handing over the coin of Jason accepting the Dragon Shield, and then after two episodes... we never see it again. Rest in peace, Dragon Shield. Anyway, they fight. The monster grows. Then there's a Zord fight. There's no extended merge sequence. There's no nothing else. In fact, this might be one of the quickest Zord fights in history, because from the moment from them summoning the Zords to the Power Sword swipe is 42 seconds. So here, just bear with me here. Other than saying all its police were toxic wind and fighting in a recycling factory, what was particularly pollutant about the Polluticorn? There wasn't anything. She just called it Monster Horse, because it would have been much more sense. Then we cut back to the juice bar. There's more recycling. There's another pratfall. We go into Angel Grove High. We do Bulk and Skull's vid doc. And everyone laughs at them, including the teacher. Who were the bullies again?
The Rangers.
I don't know, man.
We should just have an article written just straight up. This is why the Power Rangers are the real bullies in Mighty Morphin. So With that, this episode was 19 minutes and 56 seconds with an IMDb rating of a 7.1.
Who the hell rated it that high?
I don't know. But you want to know something? You and I, we've had a common thing. Well, two common themes. One's about the dragon shield and the dragon green ranger powers that Jason has been using in a lackluster fashion, one could say. Another thing is about Scorpina. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
We're about to go 3 for 3.
Yeah. Although Scorpina
is this the only run of 3 episodes in a row that Scorpina appears in a row?
I don't remember.
Might
off be. The top of my head. Maybe. I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for the quick run through of a bad reflection on you. Everything starts off at Rita's palace, where Rita is annoyed, but Scorpina is leading a team of putty rangers. At Angel Grove High, the fake rangers make their presence known. Fake Kim agrees to a date with Skull. Fake Billy beats up a geek, and that poor water fountain. It never saw it coming. And then Principal Kaplan sees the fake rangers and gives them detention. Then the real rangers show up and learn they have detention. In detention, the rangers are left with Bulk and Skull. And that's a lot of food for a small little lunchbox. And now Goldar now preps for phase 2. And the fake rangers attack the citizens. While in detention, they watch cartoons. But the news breaks about the fake rangers. And then a tough decision has had to be made for the rangers. What to do? What to do? Zach comes up with a diversion so they can morph. The real rangers face off with Scorpina and the fake rangers. The rangers then start taking down their imposters, and now the real monster has been unveiled. Rangers do a combined blaster attack. They follow up with a final strike to win the battle, and the rangers are cleared of all wrongdoing because everyone was there watching. Bulk and Skull try to frame the rangers, but nope, there they are, and the rangers punk Bulk and Skull. Who's the bullies again?
Yeah. So this is a bad reflection on you, aka not enough goatees. That's a Mirror Mirror reference if you need to Google it. So Evil Twin episodes usually go one of two ways, right? And I'm going to guess that since this is Power Rangers, it's the 90s, and it's a kid's show, I'm going to guess this is going to veer toward comic rather than real dark, right? So
I like the Sentai episode.
I haven't seen the Sentai episode, so. In an unusual move, we open on the moon. Most of the time when we start an episode of Power Rangers, we're starting with the Rangers establishing the moral of the episode, right? As we established very heavily last episode and the episode before. This time, we start on the moon with Rita and co. She says how Twin Man, she talks about Twin Man, and Goldar babbles about Scorpina leading the team. And there's this weird shot of Scorpina. Like, it's a cross between, here's this person you've never met before, and look how hot and dangerous she is. Like, it's this weird, like, doo-doo-doo kind of shot. And you're like, yeah, it's Scorpina. She's been useless for, like, 3 episodes now. Apparently, she's leading this mission. We'll get to that. There's lots of boasting. And this squad of Babu, out of nowhere, say, looks like we've got our work cut out for us. Like, they're the ones that are going to be fighting Twin Man. It must be a weird translation issue or something like that. I don't know.
Or however they decide to write the script in general.
Yeah.
Just to get the 2 characters in there.
Yeah. Rita tells the crowd that Twin Man will turn them into exact duplicates of the Power Rangers. In the crowd are Scorpina, 6 Putties, and Goldar. And what I assume is Tin Man. So 8 Rangers? 9 Rangers? The plan is to ruin the Power Rangers rep before killing them. Just kill them. Reputation means nothing when you're dead. Okay. And of course the doppelgangers wear sunglasses. because it's sunglasses equal badasses in the 90s. Oh, and they stand with their hands in their pockets. And they chew gum. They really are ticking all of the boxes. Just no goatee beard. So, the Doppelrangers wander into the school openly brandishing weapons. They have a wrench, bolt cutters, a couple of tire irons. What a more innocent time it was. Like, just what a more innocent time the 90s were, right? And then they do the most evil thing they can do and terrorize a water fountain.
At the water fountain, what did it ever do to you besides give you water to drink?
Right. Skull hits on Doppelganger Kim. She's into it. And the way she was speaking, so was I. Billy bullies some kind of nerd and says, pasta la pizza, baby. And I love that they got this wrong. It just shows you how bad they are at this, right? I love it. I love it. There's lots of little good bits of humor in this episode. Then they pour soap suds into the fountain they've opened up. Put the top back on without even reconnecting anything. And then Principal Kaplan comes along. Uses the tap and it shoots foam in his face. And I know I say this every time I review an episode, but that's not how science works. And Jason, with the... he just stands there and goes, this is only the beginning. Like some... Doppelganger Jason is a dork, I've written here. Exit Doppelgangers, enter the regular Rangers, straight into detention. So Kaplan has them in detention, right? And it's like, yeah, I gotta leave. You all need to stay here. Is he the only teacher in the school? He's calling another teacher to watch detention.
Well, they also have Miss Appleby, but you don't know where she is sometimes.
Bulk and Skull offer to fill in the teens on how things work. And there's a great, great joke here. There's an absolute subversion of everything you're expecting. Because Bulk goes up to Jason and goes, get out of my chair. And Jason's like, I don't see it's got your name on it. And he goes, yeah, it's right there. And it's just got Bulk written across the chair. And it's even spelled wrong. I loved it. It was such a good subversion of what you're expecting, right? I love the fact that Bulk and Skull are in detention so much that Bulk's got his own chair, right? He's got his own seat. I love that. And
his mom makes him detention lunch. Yes.
What does mom made me for detention today? And there's the great sight joke of the never-ending bottomless lunchbox. Oh, chef kiss. That's the kind of comedy I love. The teens laugh at Bulk and Skull, who are the bullies again. And then the Doppelrangers morph and attack Angel Grove. There's a convoluted plot device with Bulk bringing a TV to detention so that he can watch his favorite cartoon in order to get the teens in front of a news report to show that they're being doppelgangered, right? And there's a moment in the news report where the news anchor goes, the Rangers are acting like the hoodlums they used to put out of business. I'm not sure you know what hoodlums means. Hoodlums are rioters and that kind of thing. That's not what the Power Rangers deal with. They deal with supervillains, dude. So we cut quickly to the command center, and Alpha and Zordon are like, we can't tell those aren't the Power Rangers. What? Anyway. The Rangers have a hushed conversation about how they're going to get out of detention. But Bulk and Skull can clearly hear them. Clearly hear them. They're less than 3 feet away. And the Rangers are adamant that the only way they can get out is to morph. Right?
Yep.
They've teleported in non-morph form before, so why can't they do it now?
They can't have Bulk and Skull see them do it.
No. They're adamant that the only way out is to morph.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that. No. I think the logic behind they have to morph out instead of just transport out the way they are now,
yeah,
is because they need to show that, hey, here come the real Rangers.
They could just walk out and teleport to the command center.
Well,
morph at the command center and then teleport to the scene.
Well, speaking about trying to walk out,
but it takes, what, 3 or 4 seconds for Kaplan to catch them?
I was leading you up to the Kim part. I was literally segueing you to the Kim part.
All right, so they do the thing where they just try to leave. Kaplan's like, Bulk's like, oh, she'll be back in 3, 2, 1, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So Zach comes up with this idea of making Bulk and Skull put on a face mask and plug their ears and count to 10, right? And be like, I can make us disappear. So they do. And Bulk can hear Skull counting behind him because he's reacting to it. But he can't hear Jason yell, it's morphing time. Jason doesn't even whisper it. Then there's a Ranger on Ranger fight scene, which has some really cool fight choreography. Some super cool fight choreography. And that's it. Because that's the 12-minute mark of a
20-minute and 6-second episode.
And the rest of the episode is utterly unremarkable, with the exception of the fact there's no Zord footage. Rita doesn't make this monster grow. They just shoot it with the cannon and it's done. Right? That's it.
Yeah.
Bish, bash, bosh, done. From 12 minutes onwards, if you take off like the minute and a half for the final credits, right? You're looking at 5 minutes of just fine. It's just Power Rangers. It's just a really good fight scene, followed by a lackluster fight scene against a monster, followed by them bringing them together and shooting it. The one thing that I will note, because I've not talked about this before, is Trini's power daggers. One of the things I've never enjoyed about the power daggers is when she throws them at something and they bounce off them. They don't stick in them like daggers would. They're just like, bunk. And I'm like, that doesn't.
Well, it the same goes for the Power Lance with Billy. If he froze it, it just bounces off him. It doesn't stick.
Yeah.
But
most of the time he uses it as a staff.
Yeah.
Trini's are like throwing daggers. That's what hers is designed to be. When she throws them, they hit people on the flat and just bounce off. It's not even an explosion.
Well, and not only that, but the same can actually also be said for Kim's bow. Yeah, when she shoots the arrows. I mean, you'll get an effect out of it, but it just still bounces off them.
The one thing that this episode is absolutely notable for is, well, there's two things that I wanted to bring up. One is Scorpina. Because she is leading the episode. She is leading the team. And she's seen for about 15 frames and does nothing.
And the are you okay, Lewis Black?
Yeah, right. The other thing that's worth bring up is Twin Man is voiced by one Bryan Cranston, who may also be known as Snizzard, but is also known as Zordon in the rebooted movie.
2017, yep.
Yeah.
And he's also the reason for the name of Billy.
I didn't know that. I knew that he was Billy Cranston.
He was
the reason.
So Billy Cranston was actually named after Bryan Cranston because apparently one of the producers is a huge fan of Bryan Cranston's work. Mm-hmm. And I guess they actually had him record the audio for some of the monsters ahead of time.
Yeah, he did.
And they're really big on that. And they're like, yeah, so that's how the whole Billy Cranston name came about. It was actually done.
He did two monsters. He did Twin Man and he did Snizzard.
Yeah. But they're huge fans of Bryan Cranston and they did that as a tribute to him.
Yeah.
And then how ironic it is that he ended up doing voices on the show and then eventually became Zordon.
Yeah.
Like how crazy is that?
Yeah. So. Reflection on you is just kind of, it just kind of ends. Cause
well, not only that, but also keep in mind, you have the thing like after they finish defeating the monster, the crowd just runs up to the Rangers and like, oh, good job, Ranger. Like nothing ever happened. It's like, oh, we knew they were fake all along.
There's like a TV reporter right there going like, and the Rangers are absolved of all wrongdoing because yay.
But one of the most interesting things about all of this is that we haven't talked about it, but like there's been this running theme now for a few episodes, not just the three that we're talking about now, but even a few before this one, where there's all this talk about the Rangers on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's building up to something that we'll get in the next episode, which is with Doomsday. Going back to school though, Bulk and Skull go get Principal Kaplan.
Yeah, the Rangers come back in, stuff happens, the Rangers bully Bulk and Skull some more.
Yeah. So if a bad reflection on you, it ran for 20 minutes and 6 seconds and had an IMDb score of a 7.8.
I don't know who's ranking these things, man. Like,
I don't know.
Because over the last couple, and I know I bring up every time I'm on the show, but I've been watching Low Speed Rescue, right? Because Carter Grayson's a badass. And every episode has some slight knock-on to the next episode, right? Even if it's just a very subtle way. And I don't know, man. Like, there's... And I talk about this in one of my articles, and it's just... I call season one the bloated, overgrown mess that started a phenomenon. And it's episodes like these three that prove that, right? Like, they didn't need to exist. They don't do anything for the plot other than write the dragon shield out. And they didn't even write the dragon shield out. He just never uses it again. Right?
Yeah. And look at the de-escalation as well from the first episode that we talked about at the beginning of this episode to Bad Reflection on You.
Yeah.
You went from escalating things quickly by bringing in the Dragon Zord and bringing the shield in to just bringing the shield in to not even utilizing any of it at all.
Not even using a Zord.
Yeah. So it's like the de-escalation throughout these three episodes has been so insane looking at. You know, but
it's weird. Like this little trilogy should just be it's the trilogy that sums up how much Scorpino was wasted.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the only little acorn that you can get out of this is that with that news feature,
right?
That stuff, like the more they do stuff, it builds up to this thing that's going to happen in Doomsday.
Yeah.
And so in a way, yeah, you want to build it up for a few episodes. You don't want to, like, say, do two episodes of, like, the news thing and then automatically go into that. You have something like the Rangers versus the fake Rangers.
Yeah.
Lead into it. So, like, I can understand certain reasons for wanting to do it. Like, you know, as we were talking about, Cleanup Club is a good episode.
No, it's not.
But let me finish. It's a good episode, but it would be a better episode if they utilized it after Doomsday because, like you said, why is there all this trash all over the place? This doesn't make sense. But go to Doomsday.
I have to disagree with you. Cleanup Club is not a good episode. It's not.
Well, okay. But you still see my point, though. Like, where you place an episode can make an episode make more sense. That's what I'm more trying to say. And this episode, Bad Reflection on You, makes sense for where it's at because it's leading into the next two episodes.
Of the three, yes.
Yeah. Whereas Cleanup Club would have been a great follow-up to what's coming up next.
No. No, it wouldn't. The concept of Cleanup Club would have been good.
Yeah.
And that's the core issue. These episodes aren't good. Their core ideas are great. The idea of fighting a pollution monster. I mean, I can't talk about that. I'm a Doctor Who fan. Like, entire seasons have been devoted to beating up on pollution, right? Like, but I can't. What's the word I'm looking for here? I can't sit here and say these were good episodes. They were good ideas, good kernels for episodes. But you could have done so much more with them.
Yeah.
Right? And this was also like the sixth time they'd done Evil Rangers in season one alone. Power Up Punks, the Green with Evil. What's the one with the cave and the dudes that look like they look like...
Oh no, that's not till season two,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's season two because those are Zed's Rangers.
Okay.
Yeah, because that was Lord Zed's thing.
But it still feels like the third or fourth time they've done Evil Rangers in season one alone, right?
Yeah, like, it's definitely the third time. And there will be another time this season, I believe.
Yeah.
Because they do one where it's more obvious that they're fake Rangers because the boots and the gloves are black on all of them.
Yeah.
So you'll see it again.
I don't think a single season gets fake Rangers right till the Psycho Rangers, right? Like...
Oh, yeah.
Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. I think when they do the Psycho Rangers, that's like... I don't think anyone since the Psycho Rangers have been able to top an Evil Ranger.
Well, they haven't really done Evil Rangers since then that I can think of. So it wasn't like an Evil Ranger storyline in Wild Force. There wasn't an Evil Ranger story.
Well, if I remember... I mean, and I haven't watched it in a while, but Dino Charge, Hyde... If I remember right.
I haven't got to Dino Charge yet. So.
Yeah, I think in Dino Charge, they kind of play with it a little bit with one of them because I know he goes from evil.
They've had the occasional Evil Ranger. Like the White Ranger in Dino Thunder, the Platinum Ranger in Lightspeed Rescue, like the Titan, the Quantum Ranger in Time Force. They all start as antagonists to the group, right? But they're not like evil doppelganger Rangers, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just these three episodes had a lot of potential, and they just felt wasted. Like the last two we did that weren't a two-parter were Switching Places and Dark Warrior.
Yes.
Dark Warrior did not need to exist, right? It's one of the few things that you could throw out the window. Switching Places was interesting because you had Kimmy Billy and Billy Kimmy, right? But again, at its core, it didn't do anything, right? Because Kimmy and, like, Freaky Friday worked as a movie because the two people that were swapped had different points of view, right?
Yep.
And they had to see things from each other's side. Billy and Kim, they're already friends. They already like each other. They already see things each other's way. Just Billy uses long words and Kim's doesn't. That's it, right? These episodes, I mean, the first one, aka Everyone's an Idiot, was completely pointless at the end of the day. It was a waste of the first Dragon Sword, waste of the Dragon Shield. They could have done so much more interesting stuff with that, right? And they could have done so much more interesting stuff with a monster that regenerates. There's a reason I brought up the Wild Force finale, right? Yep. Just saying. Cleanup Club. Absolute waste of time. Take some of the first 10 minutes that you spent preaching about pollution. Expand Scorpina's role. Make it do more.
Expand the monster's role. Make him do actually something. Make him that actual pollutes.
Pollute.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say anything about Bad Reflection on You because at the end of the day, it was fine. You could have done more with the idea of evil rangers and doppelgangers than have them beat up a drinking fountain.
That poor water fountain.
Yeah, dude. What did they... Just... I don't know. There's just so much potential. And that's what... And I know... It was the 90s. It's a kid show. You're not expecting a masterclass of writing, right? I expect at least expect people to be slightly competent at their jobs. And it feels like some of the people who wrote these maybe weren't. And I'll leave it at that.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was Birds of a Feather, Cleanup Club, and A Bad Reflection on You. And Ben,
an interesting trilogy of episodes.
To start the We Got Rid of Tommy era.
Not only did we get rid of Tommy, but we got rid of the Dragon Shield as well.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, in less than three episodes, they just get rid of the Dragon Shield. They just never use it again.
Like, yeah, it served its purpose for the episode, you know, but
so much for pathos,
yeah,
right? Like,
but yeah, that and this is actually the beginning of, like, these are the first three episodes of 13 where Tommy is actually not in Power Rangers outside of the second part of Doomsday, where he actually is doing more of a cameo to support the friends, but not actually be a main focus.
Yeah, the weird thing about these three episodes, right, is it kind of epitomizes everything that is season one of Power Rangers, because you would think outside of the Dragon Shield, there would be a bit more of, man, I wish Tommy was here. This would be easier if Tommy was around, if there were still six of us, that kind of thing. But it's just never referenced. It's the ultimate filler episodes, and it's like, as I said with Cleanup Club, that's the prototypical Power Rangers episode.
And not only that, but Cleanup Club, as I also mentioned in the actual episode, The Body Itself, that's an episode that should have been put out immediately after Doomsday.
Yeah.
Especially the fact of what was Doomsday about. It was about this big rally in the park. What are they doing in Cleanup Club? They're cleaning up the park.
Yeah.
It would have made so much more sense, because we've actually have seen where it aired on television, like two episodes aired out of order, and it was when they're creating those super putties.
Yeah.
And then when they put it on the DVD and they put it on Netflix, they actually put them in the proper order that they should have aired it, because of the fact of, you know, hey, this is how the story actually was supposed to work in regards to storytelling and continuity. So
yeah. But what can we say? Like, it just goes to show how much filler was in season one.
Yeah.
Right. Let's be honest.
And it was just one of those things where the show just got so popular that they
just kept going.
Had to keep going. Yeah. So, with that, Mr. Pink Ranger, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You follow me on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find me every 2 weeks over at
txhchockey.com/awesomemania.
On Voices from the Grid's sister show, Awesome Mania, where we discuss the ongoing shenanigans in the world of pro wrestling. You can also find me every 2 weeks on a Monday at
txhthockey.com/VFTG
with my columns that are all about my experiences with Power Rangers, because if you listen to the season intro, the season one, episode one of VFTG, you know that my journey through Power Rangers has really only existed over the last year or so. So I've been documenting my thoughts in columns as we go. They come out every other Monday. Not going to lie to you, these episodes that we're recording are pre-recorded, so I have no idea what column's coming out next or when, or if I've started rambling and I've lost my mind and just turned it into a That's Not How Science Works blog.
Hey, now we know what you're going to do when you're done with your journey. You're going to just revisit episodes and just write about how the science doesn't work.
Funnily enough, That's Not How Science Works is one of the nicknames I originally pitched for this podcast. So there you go. And you can find me doing the video game thing over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
Yep, with my good and dear friend, Jordan, Mr. NNJ Johnson, and whoever else decides to stop by to play some games. If you want to know when we're going live, follow me on Twitter.
Yep. And as always, you can follow me on the Twitter at thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. Of course, everything on txhdhockey.com, and for this show specifically, VFTG Voices from the Grid. So, with that, Mr. Ben, take us away.
That's right. It's me, Ben Taylor, here to say, guys, gals, and non-aligned pals, in the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on, non-gender-specific honorific.
And until next time, grab your morpher and may the power protect you.